for our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. We want to thank you for letting us host this beautiful conference, Lord. We ask you to bless everyone in attendance, Lord. We ask you to bless Pastor Anderson, through the Holy Spirit, bless every aspect of the service, and let it be edifying to us all. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Turn to Psalm number 224 in your book. Psalm number 224. There shall be showers of blessing. Psalm number 224.
We will send you out soul winning. We can give you maps and send you out other times too if you got nothing going on with any other time. And then also, this is not on the schedule, but tomorrow at 3 o'clock, make sure to write this down. There's a wedding tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Everyone's invited to the wedding tomorrow at 3 o'clock. So just show up, don't be shy. And that's not on the schedule in the bulletin because this is a last minute add on. It's kind of one of those spur of the moment things, you know?
But anyway, 3 o'clock. And then also, hopefully you got one of these little lanyards out in the lobby. You put your name on it and where you're from. And then you have this lanyard. Well, on the back of that has the schedule for the whole conference too. And the only thing that's missing on that schedule is, again, the wedding tomorrow at 3. But everything else is on your little deal here. And so we got Musical Instrument Museum. We got Pastor Shelley preaching tomorrow night. And then, you know, we got all the other activities there, so be aware of that. All right, and then on the back of the bulletin, chili cook-off, that ship already sailed. Birth announcement for the Martin family, congratulations to them. That's really about it for announcements. Just remember, if you do go to the museum tomorrow, they don't want us to bring any water or food, and they don't want us to touch anything. So you're just going to have to fill the hump before you get there, and eat and drink and do all that. I'm sure there's drinking fountains, okay? But, you know, when I was a kid, anyway, we didn't carry water bottles with us everywhere we go. Amen? We didn't even know what a water bottle was. A water bottle was like a canteen that a cowboy would have. That's the only water bottle we'd ever seen in our lives. Literally. And people that are my age and older, they know I'm telling the truth. Bottled water did not exist. I know that's hard for you to believe, but it's true. I remember when bottled water came out. I remember when bottled water first dropped, when it was first released. And I was like, this is the stupidest product I've ever seen. Why would anyone pay for water? Water's free. If I wanted water, I'll drink out of the garden hose of my neighbor or of other random strangers. That's how we grew up. So anyway, you're going to have to experience that 1980s lifestyle of not having a water bottle for 2 hours of your life. And so, yeah, that's about it for announcements. I did want to have, Brother Cooper, are you prepared to come and speak a little bit on the Philippines? So, Brother Cooper is going to be preaching more about the cruise mission trips and things that we've been doing this year. He got to participate on one of those cruise mission trips, and so I'm going to give you the microphone. I'm going to give you this one. But he also spent a bunch of time this year doing missions in the Philippines. So right now he's just going to briefly tell us about his missions in the Philippines. Then we'll sing another song, and then he's going to come back and preach to us about the cruise missions. So here you go. Just go ahead and clip that on.
Sure.
And then when you're done, just call for... I'll come back.
Okay. All right. So once again, my name is Brother Raymond Cooper. And it was about this time last year that I kind of announced and we started planning for me and my family to move to the Philippines for a little while. And I wanted to go to the Philippines because, you know, I love missions. You know, I love, you know, mission trips. I love soul winning in foreign countries. And, you know, I've always wanted to go on kind of more of an extended mission trip before, you know, more than just like a week or two. You know, me and my good friend Daniel Ryder, we talked about it before. You know, Daniel, he spent like 4 months before in Malawi, and he spent 4 months before in Jamaica. And I just always thought that was a super cool idea. And so anyway, you know, we had some savings. My wife had just gotten her U.S. citizenship so she could freely come in and out of the country. And so we decided that early this year, back in February, was a good time for us to, you know, head out to the Philippines. And it was either going to be the Philippines or Africa. But because I love Africa so much, that's like my favorite place. But we decided on the Philippines because it makes, you know, a lot more sense because my wife is Filipino. You know, we're both very familiar with the Philippines, a lot more so. And there's also a lot of New IV people already there, you know, several churches and lots of people already there. And so, yeah, we decided to go to the Philippines. Now, I did this, you know, or I wanted to do this just kind of, you know, of my own volition. You know, I just wanted to go out there. So it wasn't like I was being sent out or anything from church. I wasn't being ordained, and I wasn't being funded at all either. And so we kind of had two goals in mind, of course, to do lots and lots of soul winning, lots and lots of mission work. But we were also going to try to start a business while we were out there as well to kind of fund us and let us stay there long term. as long as we wanted or as long as we could. So those were the two things that we wanted to do. But starting a business absolutely did not work out. Just, 100%. I did not realize this before going there, but apparently the Philippines is in the top 20 most difficult countries in the world to start a business in. So it's very difficult with all the government regulations and stuff. It was an absolute nightmare. And so sunk a bunch of money into that, didn't work out. And yeah, it's all good because the soul winning was awesome, and that was the part that was really great. And so anyway, with this business idea in mind, I was looking at different places that we could move to in the Philippines, and we decided to go to this island called the Island of Palawan. And for people who are not familiar with the Philippines, this is, one of their most beautiful islands. It's like the Hawaii of the Philippines or whatever, which, is kind of silly to say because, all the Philippines is, kind of like Hawaii, just very beautiful, lots of nice beaches. But Palawan is like way more so, and they get lots of tourism coming in. And so I figured that, having like a tourism-related business would be a good idea because from personal experience, I know that the tourists there spend lots of money because I've spent lots of money there or whatever. So I just figured that'd be a good spot to go to. And Palawan has about 1 million people that live on this island. It's very long and skinny if you look at it on a map. So it's a very large island. From one side to the next, it takes about 12 hours to drive. But then going from east to west, it takes about an hour and a half. So it's very long, very skinny. And we went to the big city that's there called Puerto Princesa. It has 350,000 people there. And before we went, we made sure that there were some good churches there. And we found two good churches that, we listened to some preaching online. It seemed really great. We found one that was called the Puerto Princesa Fundamental Baptist Church. And we found another one that was a Bible Baptist Church, which those are kind of hit or miss if they're good or not. But anyway, we went there and we visited both of these churches. And at first, both of the churches were really, really good. We liked them. But after, about a month of being there, the Fundamental Baptist Church, they were preaching some really, weird heresies and stuff. They not only taught that, saved Christians, if you're truly saved, then you'll have good works. But they went, way beyond that. And they were like, if you're truly saved, then you're never going to do any bad works. And if you do anything bad, then you were never saved and whatever. So anyway, we were just like, no, we're not going back to this church. So we went full on into the Bible Baptist Church, and I'm really glad that we did because that one turned out to be a fantastic church, really wonderful. We went there for the full 6 months that we were there, and they never preached anything wrong as far as I could tell. The whole time that we were there, it was really great. They have soul winning twice a week there, on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And out of a church of about 100 people, they had 20 to 30 people going out soul winning every single week at their soul winning time. So it was actually really cool. I like the pastor there, Pastor Jehu Kanoi. But the thing that I like the most about this church, Faithful Word is like my favorite church in the world. I think we have the best church ever. But I'm not going to lie, though. I think that this church in Palawan had like the best church name out of any name that I've ever heard of before. The name of their church was What the Bible Says Baptist Church. And I thought that was cool. That was cool. And it was a great church. And, we really enjoyed our time there. The people were nice and everything. And unfortunately, this was kind of bad, though, about it, is that the day after we left, the day after we flew back and I flew back to America and everything, the church building had some electrical issues and actually burned down. Like, literally the day after we left. It was pretty crazy. There were a lot of people inside. Thankfully, nobody was hurt or anything. But as of right now, they're kind of meeting in their parking lot and stuff. So, just be praying for them that they get that fixed and whatnot. But overall, it was a great church, and I was happy to be a part of that church for the 6 months that we were there. And then also, too, about a month and a half or 2 months into our stay there, there was this guy named Alexander Varquez. And this guy's a great guy. He's a new IP guy. He's been, in our movement for many years now. And I had actually met him many years ago back in 2019 whenever I was going to Pastor Logan Robertson's church there. And he's from the island of Mindanao, which is where my wife is from. Anyway, this guy basically came out to Palawan, where we were at, to basically come and help me do soul winning and to try to start that business I was talking about. And so that was really nice of him, and I'm really thankful for him and him coming out there to help us. And so for the last 4 months that I was there with Alex, and we were going soul winning all the time, and he was going to, we were trying to start that business and whatnot. We also started a YouTube channel as well that you guys should check out. It's called The Gospel for All Nations, and I'm trying to keep it active, but I've been pretty busy lately. But anyway, we talked about all the soul winning that we were doing there and all that good stuff. And so we went sewing together for 4 months until I left. And then, you know, I left because of the financial issues or whatever, came back to America. But even after I left, Alex continued going sewing full time for the next 2 months after I even left. And in fact, he had one of his close friends named Elijah Fernandez fly out there from Mindanao as well to go sewing with him, so he didn't have to go sewing by himself. And they were continuing to try to work on that business and stuff like that. And so that happened for the next 2 months until the end of September. And then, yeah, we kind of gave up on the business. And then they went back home. And now they're doing, you know, their secular job and just going sewing whenever they can. And so that's great too. But I want to talk about, you know, how many salvations we got. So for the time that I was there, and then for the 2 months after I left, and then they continued soul winning, all together we counted 1,113 salvations for the entire time. And so, you know, I'm really thankful for this opportunity to have gone out there. It just kind of seemed like it was the, you know, right time in my life to go and try this. And, you know, it was kind of just like a big experiment. You know, I just wanted to see, you know, if we could just kind of make it work in a foreign country for a little while. And, you know, I'm thankful, and I'm thankful for how it turned out. I'm thankful that the business actually failed and everything, because I'm 100% serious. You know, in July, we were ready to come back to America. We were kind of done out there, you know. My wife, she was like, oh, I want to go back to the Philippines and stuff. But then once we got there, you know, it didn't take very long. And she's like, you know, I miss America. I want to go back. You know? And me too. I was ready to come back. Even one of my daughters, Priscilla, she was like, Daddy, I miss the Arizona church. I want to go back or whatever, you know. And so, yeah, we were all very ready to come back. And so I'm really glad that everything worked out the way that it did. And I'm glad that we got all the salvations and everything. And, you know, I just got back here to church a couple of months ago. And, you know, I left for 6 months. I came back. And I think that our church right now is like the best that it's ever been. You know, I love our church. And, you know, I came back and it just seems like we have such a great spirit now. And we got a lot of new people here and everything. So I'm just super thankful to be back. I'm super thankful to be back for good. It's really great to be back. And so, yeah, thank you for, you know, listening to what I had to say about us going to the Philippines. And in a few minutes, you know, I'll be talking about our cruise mission trip that we just took a couple weeks ago. So thank you.
Amen. So just real quick, we're just going to count up the salvations and then we'll sing a song and move on with the service here. So just going back to Monday, any soul winning to report from Monday? All right. I gotcha. Let me write that down. Okay, anything else from Monday? How about Tuesday? Anything from Tuesday? Gotcha. Anything else from Tuesday? Ah, there we go. Is that a three? All right. Anything else from Tuesday? And then today, I don't think we got a total at all, so let's just go individual salvations from today. Okay, got it. So I don't think we got any totals. So if you got anybody saved, so on. Okay, I got the two there. 1, 1, 1. Okay. Hang on 1 second. Okay, so we got a 1 and a 3, and then a 1 in the back. Okay, and then gotcha. All right. Any, help me out, because I'm not good at seeing sometimes. So point or... I still don't see it. I already got it, guys. All right, anybody else that I'm missing? All right, very good. Keep up the great work on soul winning. Are you leading our next song? Come on up.
There should be an insert inside your hymnbook with the song, I'll Go Where You Want Me to Go. So if you don't have one of the song sheets, then one of the guys will go.
Yeah. Thank you.
everyone? In your hymn books, turn to song number 392. Song number 392. A Soul Winner for Jesus. Song number 392.
Plates go around, we will turn in our Bibles to 1 John chapter 3. And as Brother Dan comes to read the scripture, also I just wanted to say out in the lobby, we've got a lot of great swag out there as far as the sweatshirts, water bottles, visors, hats, all kinds of cool stuff, bookmarks, keychains, you name it, it's out there. Now, of course, everything at our church is always free, nothing's for sale. So help yourself to that. Just only one per person, right? Don't get like, oh, I got to get one of every color, you know. So, you know, one sweatshirt per person, one whatever. And so obviously there's a limited amount out there, but it's all free. So be sure to help yourself. Yes. Yeah, and the lanyards are for all ages. At first they were just giving them to adults, but now at this time, every man, woman, boy, and girl should get a lanyard.
Okay, did I lose my mic? All right, sorry.
But yeah, every man, woman, boy, and girl gets a lanyard. It's got the schedule, and so you can get those today, tomorrow, whenever. Let's give a hand to all of the ladies who worked on the decorating. What a great job they did on the decorating. So, fantastic job with the decorations. Everything looks awesome. And so, yeah, get your Faithful Word gear. Be sure to, you know, wear it for those pictures to burn up social media with all those pictures of you with your Faithful Word swag. And be sure to take your pictures up here in front of the cruise ship and everything. And for a split second, people will think that you went on a really cool vacation before they realize that it isn't real. But actually, you did go on a really cool vacation to Arizona to the Missions Conference. So I think that that's about it. So let's go ahead and read our scripture.
1 John chapter 3, the Bible reads, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath his hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. And he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us, by the Spirit which he hath given us."
Lord, we just come before you tonight, and we just lift up this service to you, Lord, and we just thank you that you've given us this time for this missions conference, and we just thank you for bringing everyone here safely, Lord. We ask that you would just give them a great time while they're here, everyone that's visiting out of town, and we just lift up Brother Raymond Cooper as he preaches to us tonight and shares with us about the Bahamas, and we just ask you to guide him in the Holy Spirit and let us be those that would go where you want us to go, Lord, and be who you want us to be. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And once again, I just want to say thank you, of course, to Pastor for this opportunity to preach at the Missions Conference for the third year in a row now. And so that's a great blessing and a great honor to be here. And thank you all for coming and showing up and everything. And, you know, what I'll be preaching about tonight is, you know, this big cruise mission trip that a few of us just did about 3 weeks ago now. We just went on this cruise mission trip, you know, and I want to start off by saying, you know, in the same way that this conference is kind of like, or a large part of this conference is dedicated, you know, to our good friend Kevin Rowe, you know, who passed a couple of months ago, you know, in the same way, you know, this cruise that we went on was, you know, we also were really thinking about him and stuff, because I want to point it out to, you know, maybe not everybody in here knows this, but, you know, the cruise mission trips was 100% Kevin's idea. You know, Kevin came up with this, and this is kind of a funny story, but I remember whenever Kevin came up with this, it was about a year and a half ago. I remember he came in to the Wednesday night church service, and he was just really excited about it, and he was talking about the cruise mission trip idea, and he was telling me about it, and I was just like, I don't know about that. I was kind of skeptical. I started out kind of skeptical. It just didn't click, you know, in my brain yet. And so I was like, I don't know about this. But, you know, I am so thankful that I was wrong, though. You know, I'm so thankful that we tried it. You know, we've done these cruise mission trips for about a year now, and they've just been nothing but a huge success, and we've gotten hundreds of people saved as a result of it, and it was all, you know, Kevin's idea. And so you know, and I'm really thankful that Kevin kind of pushed me to sign up for one of these mission trips, you know, before he passed. And this cruise that we went on was actually the very first mission trip, like right after, you know, his passing and everything. So it was a very emotional trip. Obviously, you know, we were thinking about him a lot. And you know, it was supposed to be five of us who went, but there ended up being four of us. So it was me and brother Jimmy Wright, and of course Lola and little baby Phoebe. So it was us four that went on the trip. And this was me and brother Wright's very first cruise mission trip. And for me, it was just my first cruise in general. I've never been on a cruise. Brother Wright's been on a cruise before, but I had never been on one. And I want to ask, I want to get a raise of hands. Who here has been on one of these cruise mission trips over the past year or so? Okay, so a few people, but you know, the majority of people in here have not yet. And so that was me as well. I had no idea what to expect going into this cruise mission trip. And there were a lot of surprises, you know, mostly good surprises. You know, there were a couple of things that, you know, I didn't realize was going to happen and stuff. And that's totally fine. And so that's what I'm going to talk about in this sermon tonight. The title of my sermon is An Introduction to Cruise Missions. An Introduction to Cruise Missions. And this is primarily going to be, you know, aimed towards people who have not been on a cruise yet, or a cruise mission trip yet. And so, and I want to talk about, you know, some of the details, some of the things that surprised me, and I just kind of want to tell our story of this cruise mission trip. It was an 11-day cruise, and we went to seven different ports. So we went to seven different stops along the way. And but I will say this, just right off the bat, I love cruise mission trips now. So this was an amazing trip. I am hooked. I want to do a lot more cruise mission trips in the future. I started out skeptical, but now, man, I love this. So anyway, I want to start out by reading this Bible verse here. You're there in 1 John chapter 3. And this verse really jumped off the page at me a couple of months ago, you know, and it made me really think about these cruise mission trips that we've been doing lately, because I was just reading this and it really stood out to me. But look down, if you would, at 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 17. And this is what the Bible says. It says, "But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." And I want to point out a couple of things in this verse. First of all, you know, God is not against us having good things, you know, in this life. You know, God is not against us, you know, having nice things or being able to participate in nice experiences, or to even use, you know, the terminology here, to have this world's good. You know, God is not against us, you know, having this world's good. And you know, a cruise, if a cruise is not having this world's good, I don't know what is. You know what I mean? Because it's so nice, it is luxurious. They give you, you know, all this food, and you could just keep eating and eating, and you just eat for, you know, as much as you want. And you have nice lodging. You know, every single morning you wake up and you're in a new beautiful country. I mean, it's really cool. And so, yeah, I mean, if that's not having this world's good, then I really don't know what is. But, you know, in this verse, though, you know, we see that God doesn't mind us having this world's good, you know, but there's a big caveat to that. And it says that, you know, we still need to have compassion on people who are, you know, don't have, you know, the same things that we have, right? And have compassion on people and, you know, to love in deed and in truth. And the reason that this just instantly made me think of the cruise mission trips that we're doing is because, yeah, you know, we've got this world's good. We're going on this really nice, super luxurious cruise and everything. But, you know, we're not just doing it for a vacation or whatever. We're going there to preach the gospel to the people at those ports. You know what I mean? And we're there showing compassion to the lost that are in these locations. And so, you know, I think that's a really good way to look at this verse. And again, that just made me think of these cruise mission trips. And so let me get into our story here. So we all met in Fort Lauderdale when we left out from Florida. This was about 3 or 4 weeks ago. So this is very fresh. This is new stuff here. And our trip was actually going on at the exact same time as the Steadfast Bahamas trip that we're going to hear more about tomorrow. And so that's going to come in later in the sermon. So I just wanted to point that out. But we were...
Let's see.
But we were on a princess cruise, and what we heard from this lady named Penny, and I'll talk more about her later, is that princess is like top of the line. So out of all the cruises that you could go on, you know, it's like princess cruises and celebrity cruises, but according to Penny, princess is like much better than celebrity. So, I mean, I started out at the top, you know, I started out at the very best cruise that you can possibly get, is kind of what I thought. Even though we were on the smallest and oldest of their ships that they got, but hey, that's okay. You know, it was awesome, and I have nothing to compare it to anyway. But it was awesome, and you know, I learned a lot of cool stuff about sailing and things. You know, some of my favorite books that I read are like old books about, you know, sailing and shipwrecks and pirates and stuff like that. And so it was just so cool to learn all these new vocabulary words like port and starboard and aft and gangway and stuff. I mean, I've always read these books and I had no idea what they were even talking about. But now I know because I went on this cruise. So that was kind of cool. But anyway, we left out from Fort Lauderdale. And our first full day on the cruise ship, we woke up the next morning on the cruise ship, and the first day was a full day at sea. And so, you know, we didn't land anywhere. We were just sailing for the entire first day. And I will say this, that would probably, for me, you know, never going on a cruise mission trip like this, that probably wasn't like, you know, my favorite way to start out this mission trip. Because, you know, I'm thinking about traditional mission trips, and usually, you know, as soon as we land, you know, hey, we're soul winning, or, you know, maybe the very next day we're soul winning. But here we had to wait for like 2 days after we landed before we started soul winning. But, you know, later on in the trip, I started to really appreciate those days at sea, and I'll talk about that later. But, you know, just starting out, remember, you know, at this time I was still kind of skeptical about these. I was like, I don't know about this. I don't like this day at sea or whatever. There's no free Wi-Fi or whatever. You know, it's probably going to be a boring day. But it ended up being a great day. You know, they have all kinds of different activities on board. So we did like an origami class. We did lots of trivia nights or whatever. And we even saw a show there that was talking about life on board and stuff. So it was really cool. And we ate a lot. So we ate a lot of food and it was great. And so, you know, not a boring day at all. It was great. A day at sea. Go ahead and turn over, if you would, to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. But again, that was kind of an adjustment coming from, you know, like a regular style mission trip. But the next day, we arrived in our first location, which is the Turks and Caicos Islands. And I've done a lot of research on this place before. This is a territory of the UK, and the Bahamas, you know, I believe it's the most Baptist country in the entire world, the Bahamas is, with like 30% of their population is Baptist. Or, you know, it's one of the like the top five, you know, most Baptist countries. But Turks and Caicos actually has a higher percentage of Baptists. They have like 35% Baptist. So, you know, and we actually met a lot of Baptists that day, so that was pretty cool. But we landed there, and we landed on the island of Grand Turk. And let me tell you, you know, there was nothing grand about it. You know, it was a very tiny island. It was not a very cool island. There were donkeys everywhere. We called it Donkey Island because there were just, you know, donkeys everywhere. And like everybody there, a lot of them didn't speak English. So there was a lot of like Haitians there and Spanish speakers that had immigrated there. But out of the people who spoke English, the majority of them were just kind of drunk. And they just didn't really want to talk to us or whatever. And so it was kind of a rough day, a rough first day. You know, it was also kind of hard to find anybody too. I think there's like 2,000 people that live on this island. It's a tiny island and there just wasn't a lot of people there. But, you know, there were some cool things that happened. I got a Haitian guy saved. I've never gotten anybody from Haiti saved before. So that was pretty cool. He spoke just enough English to get saved. And so we were talking about Haiti. We also met a Haitian Baptist pastor there as well. But he did not speak any English, so we don't know what he said. We don't know if he's saved or not, but Haitian Baptist guy, okay, a pastor. And then the funniest thing that happened that I have to bring up is that we met this one crazy guy named Gregory. And this guy was pretty crazy. So he was just this old black guy, and he was like this tall, and he was just following us around as we were soul winning. And this guy had lost his marbles. You know, this guy was This guy was fried for sure. So, but you know, but anyway, basically, you know, he just really liked Lola. He really wanted to talk to Lola. He just really liked her. He was just like obsessed with trying to talk to Lola. But Lola was preaching the gospel over here, so I was trying to distract him and stuff. So I was talking to him, and then he wrote down his phone number, and he's like, "Here, give this to Lola. Make sure she gets it, whatever." And I'm like, "Okay, dude, whatever, you know." But anyway, I was like, "Okay, well, while I'm trying to distract this guy, I might as well try to preach to him." So I tried to get into the gospel, but I did not get very far. Because I was about to quote John 3:16. I was like, you know, John 3:16 says, and I was about to quote it. But this guy, he knew John 3:16. And he really knew John 3:16. Because as soon as I said, you know, John 3:16, he just stops everything. And he just starts screaming it from the top of his lungs. He's just like, "For God so loved the world." And he was just so excited. He was just like, man. And I was just like, okay, this guy's crazy. Anyway, but I eventually left him, and I went to go try to approach somebody else, and this made me mad, and this is why we're in Acts chapter 16. We'll look at this in a minute. But, you know, I approached this one young lady. She was like a teenager or whatever, and I tried to hand her a card, you know, did the whole thing, and I asked her, you know, "Are you sure that you're going to heaven?" And she said, "No, I'm not sure." And all of a sudden, Gregory shows up from like 10 feet away. He just runs up, and he's like, "What do you mean you don't know how to go to heaven? For God so loved the world!" Whatever. And anyway, he freaked out that lady. That lady left, and she didn't want to talk to us anymore. And that made me really mad. That reminded me of this these verses in Acts chapter 16. Look down, if you would, at verse number 16. Acts 16. Did it blow off? Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah, there you go. We got Gregory in here now. No, I'm just joking. Anyway. But you're there in Acts chapter 16. Look down, if you would, at verse 16. The Bible says this, "And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation.' And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And he came out the same hour." And so this is like the exact same situation that we were in, where this guy, you know, he's saying good stuff. You know, we all like John 3:16, but he's just being super annoying about it. And he's just like messing us up as we're trying to preach to people and stuff. And so, yeah, this definitely reminded me of him. And I'm not saying that the guy was, you know, demon possessed. Maybe he was just drunk. I don't know. But, you know, he was crazy. And so this was not our favorite spot. And and I'll say this too. So that guy, the crazy guy Gregory, his brother did get saved. So that was the guy that Lolo was preaching to, was his brother. And his brother was cool. His brother was normal. His name was Emerson. So they get on their bicycles, and Emerson's like, "Come on, Gregory, we got to go home." And he's like, "No, you can't tell me what to do," or whatever, you know. And he just kept following us around. It was very comical. It was very funny. But anyway, this was so. We kind of got off on a rough start. This was not our favorite location. So, you know, we went soul winning all day, and we got four people saved today, which, you know, praise the Lord for the people that got saved. Hold on a second. Okay. Hopefully it stays. But anyway, we got four people saved, so that was good. But it was a full day of soul winning, and it was hot. It was sunny. I got the worst sunburn of my entire life. Like, a part of my nose fell off and stuff. It was really bad. And because I don't use sunscreen or whatever, because I never get a sunburn here in Phoenix. But, you know, I don't know if we were just closer to the equator and that's why or whatever. But anyway, if you go on a cruise mission trip, make sure you bring sunscreen or a hat, because that was very important. But anyway, this place was probably our least favorite place for Brother Wright specifically. This was his least favorite spot for soul winning on the entire trip, because he tried to preach to this one lady who was like a repent of your sins lady. And as soon as he said that you don't have to repent of your sins to go to heaven, she just freaked out and just started yelling at him and cussing him out and stuff. So so this was his personal least favorite spot for soul winning, but it was also his favorite place for recreation as well, because they had a nice beach. So we hung out at the beach a little bit. But overall, yeah, so not a great start. Now, that night, we went back to the ship, and we ate at this fancy restaurant called Botticelli's that was on board on the ship. And so how this works, because I was confused about this before going on a cruise, but they'll have, like, the big buffet that's open, you know, all day long. It's open until, like, 10 p.m. at night, and you could just go in there and grab food anytime you want. But they also have, like, free restaurants that are kind of fancy or whatever that you can have for dinner. And so we ended up going to this place, Botticelli's, every night, and it was really nice. And we had the same waitress breakfast every night, Miss Chona, so she was very nice to us. And that's one cool thing about cruises, too, that I didn't realize, is that you really get to know these staff members that are there. So you get to know them, you know, you talk to them every day, you kind of get to know their story a little bit. And so it's kind of cool to be able to get them, get to know them, because they're all from all around the world as well. And Lola actually got a lady saved named Jessica, who is an English-speaking Nicaraguan lady. So she's from Nicaragua, but she speaks English. And Nicaragua is in Central America. They mainly speak Spanish, but all up and down their Caribbean coast, they speak English there. And so we actually had several English-speaking Nicaraguans on our cruise ship. So that was pretty cool to learn more about that and everything. Speaking of English speakers in Spanish-speaking countries, the next day we went to the Dominican Republic, and this was one of my favorite spots. This was really cool. But you know, going into it though, I had zero hope for me and Brother Wright, because neither of us speak any Spanish whatsoever. You know, we don't speak it, and you know, the Dominican Republic is, you know, a Spanish-speaking place. So anyway, we arrived. I just figured we were going to be babysitting all day. We were going to be babysitting baby Phoebe while Lola's, you know, preaching or whatever. But anyway, we get there and we get to this big plaza area with lots of people around, and Lola starts preaching the gospel, and I'm holding the baby and everything, and I see Brother Wright. He's just walking over here, and I'm like, okay, cool. You know, he can go try. Yeah, dude, that sounds great. But in my mind, I'm thinking, we're not going to find anybody who speaks English here. But anyway, he walks up, he approaches three different people, and all of a sudden I see him pull out his Bible, and he starts preaching the gospel. I'm like, okay, that's cool. So he found an English speaker. So I'm like, okay, well, let me see what I can do. So I start looking around, and I see like a young boy over here, like 13, 14 years old, and I walk up to him, and I just approach him in English, you know, didn't try any Spanish, and the kid spoke perfect English. I mean, it was perfect. And his name was Nathaniel, and he was extremely receptive, and, you know, he got saved super easy. But as I'm preaching to him, there's like an older lady that walks by, and he waves at her, and he says, "That's my English teacher. That's how I know English right now," or whatever. So I'm like, "Amen. Thanks for that, the you know, English lady." Anyway, after that, so me and Brother Wright, we got two people saved in English there, and we were pumped. We were ready to go. So we were like, okay, let's go over here to the university. So we went over to a big university, and we were hanging out outside, and we were catching students as they walked by. And the first person I walked up to, boom, English speaker, got saved. And then, you know, we were talking to a lot of people, and then we made the mistake. Me and Brother Wright made the mistake of walking inside of the university. And we walked inside. It's a big lobby with like 40 kids in there. And then an angry teacher walks up to us and starts basically kicking us out, but in Spanish. And, you know, I don't want to get kicked out or whatever. And so I'm just like, "No hablo español. I don't know. What do you want?" And so she's frustrated, and she makes like an announcement, "Hey, does anybody here speak English?" And so these two college, you know, students, these two guys walk up, and they're like, "Yeah, we speak English," or whatever. And I give them the card, and I tell them what we're doing. And he's like, "Oh, cool. I'll watch your video. But you know she's kicking you out, right?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I know. We'll leave," or whatever. So anyway, we walk out, and me and Brother Ryder are just hanging out outside. And then 10 minutes later, those two students that just kicked us out, the two English speakers, walked up to us, and they were like, "Hey, we just watched your video, and it was really cool." And man, boom, we preached them the gospel, and they got saved as well. So that was really cool that lady who kicked us out kind of filtered through the students to help us find the English speakers. So that was really cool. And so, anyway, out of the 11 people that we got saved in the Dominican Republic, 5 of those were in English. So that was really cool. A great experience there. And I'm going to throw out some numbers here. These are not official or anything. These are just based off of what we saw. But I would say that out of the young people,